We're studying in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, that area. So let's just begin there. Ephesians chapter 1. Now there's some other scriptures that I'm going to give to you, and these have to do with the Holy Spirit. I thought I might be finished last week on that subject, but there were some other scriptures that the Lord gave me this morning that I've added to the ones that I had, and so we're going to be discussing the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, that we who first trusted in Christ and put our trust in Him as our Lord and Savior, it should be to the praise of His glory. We understand that it's not anything of our goodness or our, because it's not by our righteousness that we're saved, but it's by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to Him be all praise and glory for everything that He has done in our lives and is doing and is going to do. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that? To Him be all praise and glory. I've asked you to use this word several times. I've had you say these two words, in Him. So if you would, in Him, let's say in Him, because that's where we are. If we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we are in Christ. Amen? And that's what saves us. The Holy Spirit takes us and baptizes us into the body of Christ, and we are in Him, and He is in us, and the Bible tells us that our bodies become the habitation of God through the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So it's in Him that we trusted. You also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. So when you have to hear the gospel in order to be saved, the good news. Good news is good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. In whom also, having believed, didn't just say we believed in, but we believed what the gospel said. We believed Him. Amen? How many of you believe God this morning? When He says you're saved, do you believe He's? Yeah, amen. That's what it means to put your trust in Him. Amen? We put our trust in Him. Having believed, when we believed, it says you here. How many yous do we have here this morning? I'm not talking about you lambs. I'm talking about you, people, myself included, you, who have put your trust in Christ. This verse tells us, and we'll see some other verses, whom also, having believed, you were sealed. Everybody say sealed. With the Holy Spirit of promise. Who, the Holy Spirit is the who here, but He is the seal. The Holy Spirit is the seal, and He is the guarantee of our inheritance. He is, because we have the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit is God's seal, and He is the guarantee. Can everybody say praise God? He's the guarantee. We're not the guarantee. He's the guarantee. And He is the guarantee for how long? Until the redemption. Amen? We're redeemed, spirit, soul, and body. But right now, our bodies are not redeemed because we're still in the flesh and we're still on this earth. But there's coming a time when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you shall be also, and that has to do with the seal. Amen? Praise God. That's our guarantee. He says that's the guarantee of our inheritance, that God has inherited us and made us one of His own in Christ, and that redemption is till the redemption of the purchased possession. In other words, that is our redemption until Christ comes again and literally redeems us from this earth and transfers us into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. And literally, we are spiritually in the kingdom of God, because the Bible tells us when we're born again, we've been translated out from the kingdom of power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All of this ought to make us all happy. Praise God. So that's our guarantee until He comes and takes us out of here, and it's to the praise of His glory. Amen? He's the one that saves us. He's the one that keeps us. Amen? If we fail, if we stumble, if we fall, the Bible says in 1 John 1 and 9 that He's faithful. Amen? God's faithful. We may not be faithful. I hate to tell you this. I hate to bust anybody's bubble. Too many people think all these preachers are perfect. No, we're not. We live in a physical body. And sometimes we do things that are wrong. Amen? And we have to come before the Lord. And we do come before the Lord. And it may not be what anybody would call real serious, like committing adultery or killing somebody or something like that. But it could be pride. It could be arrogance. It could be greed. It could be selfishness. It could be speaking evil of a brother or sister. It could be a lot of different things. But the Bible tells us when we've sinned, and we know that we've sinned, and the Holy Spirit, because He's the seal, and our body is the habitation of the Holy of God through the Holy Spirit, and He's the one that convicts us. Jesus said to the disciples, "When I go away, the Comforter will come." Everybody say Comforter. Comforter. Amen. Since you've been a Christian, has God been your Comforter? He does that through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? The other thing, He said He will also convince men or convict men of sin. Not in a sense of condemnation. Religion condemns. Christianity saves. Convicts. The Holy Spirit convicts, convinces us. He lets us know, hey, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have done that. And what happens when we do that? Well, if we stay there in that sin and we live there, well, then we come down to the road where things begin to happen in our lives that let us know that, hey, the Lord's not blessing us the way He used to bless us. What's wrong? Where is He? Where is the fellowship? Where is His presence? That doesn't mean we're always going to feel something, but most of the time, a lot of time, we do feel the presence of God. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen? And we feel that, and so He lets us know in various ways that we've done something wrong, and then therefore, in 1 John, the little book of 1 John, back towards the book of Revelations in your New Testament, chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says to those of us who are Christians, chapter 1, verse 9 of 1 John, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, I could be on a job. Oh boy. I worked most of my life. I worked for Berry Contracting, Golston Engineering, had our own engineering and contracting company. Did $14 million the first year. You know, we were, three of us left Berry and started our own company, construction company. We worked in all these refineries, Sun Oil in Duncan Hole, Oklahoma, coastal states, everywhere, Southeast, you know, just all over the place. Made tons of money. That's why I never had to take anything from the church. Lord said He'd supply my needs. Amen? And I always felt like I needed... We started this church 30-some-odd years ago. I think they gave me $30 a month to help pay for my gasoline. I took it. Really didn't need it, but I took it. Are you listening to me? So God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. He makes us successful in our jobs. He makes us successful in anything and everything that we do. If we put our trust in Him, and I was dependent on Him. I was working for an engineering company. well, I won't even go into how much I made, a lot of money, but I'd been on a job for 2 years. God said, I want you to quit your job. He started dealing with me, and I may have shared this story with you. I owned a house I was paying for. I owned, my wife had a car. I had a truck. Those were paid for. My daughter's car wasn't paid for. We gave her a car with the youngest daughter when she graduated, and she gave it back to us when she got married. But I had a lot of credit cards and bills due. And so the Lord started dealing with me, I want you to go full-time for this church. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Go down there and tell those men I'm going full-time. They're going to want to pay me a salary, and the church can't hardly afford to pay a salary. Because we were paying for this, we had 10 acres then, all that back there where those homes are, we had this whole 10 acres that we bought. And we were paying for it. And the Lord said, you can depend on them or you can depend on me. I said, Lord, I depend on you. So when I told them I'm going full time, they said, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to depend on God. Well, what does that mean? That means I don't want a salary from the church. I'll depend on love offerings. 6 months after that, some men that I know personally that belong to this church didn't have to do this. He come and paid off the whole church indebtedness and paid off all of my debts. House, car, everything. Everything was paid for. Credit cards, been debt-free ever since. So is this church. Amen? That's what God does. When we trust Him, just make sure we're hearing from you. You don't make God do things. We just trust Him, and He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He tells us to work out your own salvation in Philippians, I think it's chapter 2 or 3. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How can we work out our own salvation? Because it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So all I need to do is cooperate with Him. I understand that He's in me and that the Bible tells me and you and Christians that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. So if we want to continue in the Spirit and we want to continue in the grace of God and not that we can lose the grace of God, but because He loves us all always. And He's already told us if you sin, we'll let you know. You come to me, you ask forgiveness. That doesn't mean we just go out. Now listen, that doesn't mean like some people say, well, you people believe it. You can just go out and do as you please and sin as you please and come and ask God and He'll forgive you. Well, if you go out and please and do as you please, you haven't been born to go to the Spirit and to God in the first place. Because you give yourself to the Lord and you don't want to go out and sin as you please and do as you please. You want to do as He pleases because you've committed your life to Him. Why, are you listening to me? So that's a bunch of bunk that people say, well, if you believe that, you can just go out and sin as you please because if you're a Christian, you've been born again, you don't want to sin. You listening? And when you do sin and we grow in the grace, everybody say grow. You understand what that means? Amen? I don't want to even get in. I don't want to even go there. We all grow in the grace, that is the love, and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have been in the ministry for 60 years, or close, yeah, maybe more. And I have been growing ever since I was in the ministry. I've been growing in the grace and the goodness and the love of God and the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm now 85 and I'm still growing. I'm still learning things. One thing I've learned, though, that I'll never forget. God is good. God is good. Not only is He good, well, there's a lot of things I've learned. He's faithful. He'll never let you down. And God, if you've been born again by the Spirit of God, I want you to know right now, and I hope this sinks into somebody. I wouldn't be saying this because I had something else I was going to say. I wouldn't be saying this this morning if God just tells me, I pray, Lord, I don't want to say what I want to say. I want to say what you want me to say. So I'm just talking here. I'm doing my best to talk. So where was I? Let me start over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. You might want to write some of these down because later on you might be doing spiritual warfare. Anybody know about spiritual warfare? Well, let me tell you just a little bit about spiritual warfare. If you have thoughts coming into your mind that you don't want there, guess who put them there? Thoughts of doubt, thoughts of fear, thoughts of worry, thoughts of frustration. God says in His Word to His children, don't worry about anything. Which brings me back to what I said, I want you to hear this. If you've been born again, God is your Heavenly Father. God is your Heavenly Father. And you can come before your Heavenly Father anytime you want to. And don't think you can hide anything from Him. You might as well be honest with Him and ourselves, because He knows all about us. He even knows what we think and what we've done and what we do. And He loves us anyway. Amen. And as I said, that doesn't, because He does love us, doesn't mean we can go do whatever we want to do. We can, but if because He does love us, He also chastens us. You know what chasten means? If you love your child and the child is running out in the street, and you tell your child, don't go out in the street, and the child doesn't understand, maybe he thinks you're just trying to spoil his fun. Doesn't have any good idea about what maybe could happen to him out there because they don't reason like that. So they come out there and grab you by the hand, drag you out of the street, give you a couple of whacks and say, I said, don't go in the street. And you cry and you get punished. Our Heavenly Father does us the same way. If He tells us to not do something or we shouldn't do something and we don't listen and we continue to do that, He doesn't chasten us or chastise us or spank us, if you want to use that term, for His good. He does it for our protection. And the reason, another thing that He does, He asks us to eat and to grow up. You say, eat? Bacon and sausage or steak or what? No. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So as we grow, we begin to understand spiritual warfare. We begin to understand the chastening of the Lord, we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the reason He tells us to get into the Word of God, listen to this, because we all need to know this. And you hear me say this a lot. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You've seen some people that have a lot of faith, and you say, boy, I wish I had faith like them sometime, don't you? Get into the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You have to desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. There's spiritual growth after we've been born again. And as we grow, we learn that we're in spiritual warfare. We learn that what the warfare is not in the flesh, but in our minds, and it's in the spiritual realm, and that we have to take the shield of faith Faith comes by hearing and hearing by. So if you don't have a lot of faith, you haven't grown up and you don't know, and there's a lot of babes in Christ and they don't have a shield of faith yet, nor do they know about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Satan came to Jesus and tempted him. I'm just sharing with you. You can read this. I think it's in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4. Satan came to Jesus and started tempting him. And he was trying to get him to doubt who he was. That sound familiar to any of you? Satan ever come to you and try to get you to doubt your salvation? How did Jesus fight him? With a word. The sword of the Spirit. How did he resist him? Through his faith and his trust in God. He knew who he was. He didn't have to prove something. Satan said, well, if you're the Son of God. And the Satan quoted Scripture. You understand where I'm coming. He knows more of the Scriptures than probably most of us do. That doesn't help him any. He knows it not so he can do good. He knows it so he can try to do harm to us. And he can use it against us. Are you listening? He did the same thing to Jesus. So he said, he quotes a word. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it is written. He shall give his angels charge over you, and they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. How did Jesus answer him? With the Scriptures, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, the Bible tells us that we as Christians, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not in a flesh and blood battle. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your neighbor. It's not your boss. It's not your whoever, any whatever. It's the principalities of the air, the spirit of the air that's now working in the children of disobedience, those that have not come to know Christ yet. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. So put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the cunning deceitfulness. That's the wile, the word wiles. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles. That's the cunning deceitfulness of the devil. Know what the things that are and what you need to know so you can take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. And so you can rightly interpret and understand the things of God, so you can do and be successful in spiritual warfare. That's why I preach like this. Been teaching and preaching like this all my life, because to get people saved, yes. But to get those who are saved to stay saved and be saved and live saved and be happy. And be joyous. And be growing. And be able to help somebody else grow. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1. Go back to this verse. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him, you know who in Him is, right? In Christ. Are yea, that is yes. And in Him they are amen. All of the promises of God that He's given to all of His children, but they're here for everybody to read in the book, are yes and amen unto the glory of God by us. So we glorify God. Verse 21, now He which established us with you in Christ, who established us in Christ and has anointed us, is God. Amen. God did this. who has also, verse 22, 2 Corinthians 1:22, who has also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So the earnest here means the down payment. The Holy Spirit is God's down payment that He's given to us as His guarantee that we belong to Him, and one day He's going to come for us and we're going to be redeemed and be out of this world and be in His world. Amen? Amen. That's His guarantee. Amen? Now, in this world, simple kind of an illustration is if you go buy a home, if you purchase a home, and they say, we want you to put up a guarantee so we can take the home off the market and we can show it sold, they ask you to put up a guarantee. So if you put up a guarantee, you're buying a $400,000 home and you put up a $5,000 or $10,000 guarantee and then you back out on the deal, you lose your guarantee. And not many people can afford it. God is not going to lose His Holy Spirit. God's not going to lose one of His children. And let me ask you this, and I know I'm getting in some ground here probably I might not be spending too much time on, but if you're born again, how many of you have been born? I mean, just born here. You wouldn't be here if you hadn't been born, right? Now, let me ask you, can you be unborn? When you're born again in the kingdom of God, you can't be unborn either. Are you listening to me? If you're born, you're born. If you're not, you're not. It's that simple. Well, it means this and it means that. Yeah, I know what it means. It means I've been born again and I have a guarantee of the Holy Spirit that I'm one of God's children. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're in Ephesians chapter 1. If you went to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Well, let's just read verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Hello, Christians, do we hear that? That's the Word of God. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That means building up, helping one another, helping yourself, building up yourself, helping others, building, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That whoever is around you, even though sometimes you're not acting like a Christian, whoever's around you knows, and I found this out myself, knows that you're a Christian, whether you tell them or not. Are you with me? They know. Because you're not the same. If you're born again, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're not the same. And so he says, what comes out of our mouths should be used to edify and build up people in the grace of God. And verse 30 is what I wanted you to see, because it talks about the seal here again. And this is God's seal. It's not man's seal. It's not a church's seal. It's not a religious seal. It's God's seal. And it's the seal he's talking about in Ephesians chapter 11, the verse that we just read. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Everybody see that? If I think it's up on the screen. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed by God till the day that He comes and redeems us. We're sealed by God until the day He comes and redeems us out of this world. He said, sorrows filled your heart. He told the disciples, because they were expecting to go into Jerusalem, set up His kingdom, and become the King of Israel. He wasn't just the King of Israel. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. He's King over all of God's creation. He created it. So he said to them, and I repeat for you, sorrow has filled your heart because I said I'm going away. Don't be sorrowful, and I'm paraphrasing. Don't be sorrowful. It's necessary if I go away, because if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. The Holy Spirit can't come. But if I go away, I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you, but I'm going to do something else. I can't be with you all of the time. He couldn't be with all. If he was with his 12 and he was in the garden, how could he be with those over in Jerusalem that were in the temple worshiping? He was in a body. He was limited. Now he's in the Spirit. He's not limited. He can be everywhere. Amen? Wow. If that dawns on you, I pray that it will. Maybe it already has. Then you're sealed until the day of redemption. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. And I'm going to read these first three verses. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Verse 2, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. We're talking about the seal. This seal is a little different. And this angel cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. They were fixing to bring. This earth is going to go through one of the most horrible judgments that you could ever possibly see. And let me tell you, we don't want to be here. Some people say we'll be here, won't be here. Some of us say we'll be here 3.5 years. Some of us say we'll be here after 7 years, whatever. That's it doesn't make any difference. I just want you to know this. Having a seal of the living God, verse 2 of Revelation 7, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying this. Whether we're here or not, let me tell you this, because this is what the Word of God said. Don't start your judgment on the earth or the sea. Do not hurt the earth or the sea, neither the sea nor the trees, till we've done what? Sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Amen? So they won't be a part of the punishment and all the troubles that the world is going through. Even if we are here, we've got the seal of God. Amen? It may not be. I don't see anybody's head that's got a stamp on it right now. Are you with me? That's a different kind of seal there. But we're sealed with the Spirit of God. Amen? It's not just a seal in our forehead either. It's a seal in our heart and in our being and our spirit. Romans 11:29. I want you to get this. If you don't write any other verse down, write this verse down. Romans 11:29. You see it up here? For the gifts, how many of you received the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It is a gift. You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. You didn't receive it. But it's a gift. You received the gift. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. King James Version says, irrevocable threw me off. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't change his mind. I know when I was growing up and I become a teenager and I went crazy and went off the deep end, I think my mom and dad wish that boy had never been born. They probably didn't wish that. They didn't want to kill me. But sometimes when he got a hold of me, I thought he was going to kill me. Because he believed in chastising. Are y'all listening to me? Did it hurt? You better believe. Did it help? Well, it had to. Because here I am. Amen. And when I surrendered to preach, anytime I was around this place, I was going somewhere to preach, my dad took me. He went with me. He was so proud of the fact. My mom was too. And she told me this after I surrendered to preach. She said, Lewis, everybody, all of the ladies, the girls that I knew had gotten married. Your dad and I had been married 3 years and I hadn't had any children. And I went to the church altar one day and I said, Lord, if you'll just give me a little boy, I'll give him to you for the rest of his life.
Hallelujah.
I was a goner from the very get-go. If you know what I mean. Now, if she'd have told me that when I was out running around crazy, I would have said, why did you do that? But after I was saved and born again and filled with the Spirit of God, then I'm so glad she did that. Amen. I'm glad she did that. Praise God for my mom and my dad. They brought us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord as best they could. Last verse. Remember, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He never changes his mind. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Let's look at some of the gifts that he gives us. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God, everybody say God, he sets people in the church. Amen? We don't set people in the church. God sets people in the church. We may have a little bit to do with it, but we try to pray and see who it was or who it is that he wants us to be in a particular place in the church. So he has set some in the church. Now the church here, of course, is wherever it is, and speaking in broad general terms, the church is the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ, because when two are joined together, husband and wives, they become one. Amen? We're one with Christ in God because we're his bride, the church. So he's talking about the body of the bride of Christ here. You understand. So in the church, he's put apostles first. He's put prophets secondarily. Thirdly, he's put teachers. After that, he's given people, he's taken some that have the gift of miracles. Some have the gifts of healings. Some have the gift of helps. Some have the gift of governments, being a part of the leadership of the body of Christ. Others have diversities of tongues. Diversities of tongues. Verse 29. Now look at this. You need to understand this. Because not everybody has the gift to be an apostle. Not everybody has the gift to be a prophet. Not everybody has the gift to be a teacher. I believe God gave me the gift to be a teacher. Not everybody has the gift of healing. The Bible says those that follow him can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But the gifts of healing is that just about anybody you touch, that if you have the gift of healing, anybody you touch, because you do it at the command of God, will be healed. There's no doubt about it. So, are all apostles? No. These questions are all answered with no. Understand this. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. That's a question mark. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. So if anybody tells you that you hadn't spoken with tongues, then you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, then they're lying to you, because the Bible tells us right here, all of us don't speak with tongues. Thank God some of us do. We have that gift. And if we want that gift, we can ask Him for gifts to help us prayer. We need it in prayer language. Are you listening to me? Do all interpret tongues? No. And then he says, but if you really want to know what God wants, covet earnestly. Now, that should be our earnest desire. This should be our earnest desire right here. We shouldn't be desiring to be teachers or prophets or speaking with tongues or doing workers of miracle and all of that. But here's the best gift that we're supposed to be looking for. And he says, I'm going to show unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes in to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is the grace channel. I'm scripture. And how does it begin? The whole scripture has to do with the love of God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not grace or love, and that's the love of God should have brought in our hearts. I'm like sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Nobody can understand anything I'm saying. Go read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll see that the primary number one thing that we need to do and desire is to be filled with the love of God. Amen. Love covers grace. Love covers a multitude of sins. The love of God. For the love of God, Romans 5, I think 8 says, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Then you're filled with love. You're not only concerned about yourself, you're concerned about others, and you're really concerned about pleasing God. Amen? Let's stand. I want to thank all of you for your patience and being here this morning. Thank you. Thank all of you that come to this place and help support it by your attendance and by your presence, by your prayers. Pray for us. We all need your prayers. Pray for us. Pray for all of us. Pray for the church. Pray for our missions program. Pray for people that are members of this church. And we have a lot of members that support this church that are not even here. They're living in other, they're living hundreds of miles away. So we need your prayers. Amen. Anybody want to come to the altar for prayer for this time, or to call on the Lord for any particular thing? Come on. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll be dismissed. W.A., would you dismiss us, please, sir?